Marketing and Media Insights from the Boardroom to the Billboard with Dina Diamond.
Dina Diamond, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Fantastic and fabulous on this glorious Monday morning.
Glorious and a bit hectic and a bit cold. It's all working.
All of the above, but getting better.
But I'm glad it's getting better for you. It's because it's the riddle. Now that you've got did you get the riddle?
I did, I think.
Okay. Well, don't give it away yet, people. If you want to SMS at 34519, there are still some people coming in with the riddle. So please do let us know.
I think we may have had this one before.
No, it's not possible. Not possible. I only do new and original riddles.
Riddles, yes.
Thank you. So talk to us. What is going on marketing-wise in the world?
In the world. So, yes. So what I thought about. So last week, did you see the story about the Swiss couple that got found 75 years after they went looking for their cows?
Yes, they were in a glacier somewhere or something.
Yes, indeed. Right. So what happened was the Swiss couple, who had 7 children, by the way, apparently went to tend for their crop, their cows, yes. Mm-hmm. And they went out and they never returned. And what happened was a worker who works by the glaciers, etc., apparently because of the melting glaciers, which got me into the whole climate change story, found these people, discovered these bodies that were perfectly preserved from literally World War II era. So they were wearing clothing from World War II. And it got me thinking, so what is this whole thing? So, and it was because of the melting glaciers. So I know people often talk about global warming and the effects of global warming and climate change. And then the question is it all a marketing ploy or is it real? And there's huge debate on that, massive, massive debate. So there's actually a difference between global warming and climate change. I'm just going to tell you what that is, right? So global warming refers to the upward temperature trend across the entire Earth since the early 20th century, and most notably since the 1970s due to increase in fossil fuel emissions since the Industrial Revolution, right? And then climate change refers to a broad range of global phenomenon created predominantly by fossil fuels, which add heat-trapping gases to Earth's atmosphere and includes temperature trends and it's described by global warming. So, and this is where the melting of the glaciers and all of this come in. So there's just been so much controversy. And if you've noticed also, there was Donald Trump. So he went to the G20. And one of the major, major issues was that he wanted to pull out of the
Paris Climate Accord.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And that's because he says it's all a hoax. So if it is all a hoax, then what does that mean from a marketing perspective? It means that the global marketing on climate change is unbelievable. And so I did a bit of research, and there are a lot of naysayers, and one of them happens to be quite a reputable, quite a reputable fella. He actually is one of the founders of Greenpeace, and he has done a whole series for, there's something called Prager University. I don't know if you've ever listened to Prager, and their stuff's very, very interesting. And what he says, his name's Patrick Moore, okay, so he's the co-founder of Greenpeace. And what he says is that there's actually been, if you look at sort of the history of the world and the cycles and evolution, he basically says that what's happening now is actually very much a natural occurrence, that there's no significant change in temperature from what it historically was to what it currently day is. And he says that we've been through various periods. So he says he talks about over the last 2,000 years. He talks about the Roman warm period that was warmer than today. Then he talks about the cooler dark ages that was followed by the medieval warm period. This is how much I'm learning about climatology. And then he talks about the little ice age that drove the Vikings out of Greenland, and then most recently a 300-year-old warming, which is to present day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the key thing, right? If you look at the whole climate change debate, there is a very, very small section of people who are suggesting that somehow this isn't a real thing. You've got the Donald Trumpers who are just saying it's just a hoax.
Yes.
I don't think that anyone is seriously suggesting that there's no global warming. So that's the issue. There's definitely the Earth is warmer. The big debate with the Patrick Moores and all those sorts of people coming up is whether it's, first of all, how big it is. Yes. That's where, as you say, the naysayers. And also, how much are humans actually to blame for it? That, so that is really where you do have people who are coming in and trying to get in on the debate. But we're going to cover it more in detail. First, we've got the news headlines. You need to know, we're talking to Dina Diamond today about marketing, and we're getting into the climate change issue. Now, Dina, I don't want to get too much into climate change. Is it a hoax? Is it not a hoax? Is it warm? Is it humans? I think that's less of an issue. That's more for the scientists to talk about.
Absolutely.
But what I do think is interesting is from a marketing perspective, this really comes into a very specific kind of marketing, which I think they refer to as public affairs or public policy, green marketing. So it really sits into a very kind of niche sector of marketing that I think a lot of brands have gotten in on in the last couple of years. You think immediately of like a Woolworths as a bit of a green vibe, a bit of Pick and Pay. So talk to us about how green marketing has become a bigger thing.
So, and again, this also goes to the theory is, if it is real, and
no, it is real.
We know. It's 100%. There's global warming, and the temperature has changed.
We don't want to be again, fake news.
We're not being fake news, but we're saying how much is a contribution by the human race to this. So, therefore, the entire industry that's been created around it, around sustainability, about green marketing, about carbon emissions, carbon credits, there is an entire global industry on various levels that's been created just from this premise, right? Mm-hmm. And we understand there's no question that the world is warming. There's no question that temperatures are changing. Again, the contributing factors are questionable. But with that still being said, the entire world has focused on this. It's not just a small part of the world. So in terms of, you're right, absolutely, the Woolworths, the Pick and Pays, you cannot today be a good corporate citizen if you do not have policies around green and carbon emissions and sustainability. So if you look at Woolworths, for example, they're literally probably one of the leaders in South Africa today, where they've taken it even a step further. They've got they've got a sustainable farming program where they even now vet their farmers, and from anything from just how the farming methods to the growing to the packages they use to every single aspect.
But I want to know, does it really, like, how much of a difference does it make to a brand? I mean, Zanati's in the studio here. She's got a large bottle of water with a big G on it. I don't even know who that's from. It's in a plastic bottle. I don't know if the plastic bottle can be recycled. I'm not sure if it's leaching horrible plastic toxins into the environment. But she bought it anyway. She's probably poisoning the whole studio. So, I mean, the question is...
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, how do you... Like, what is wrong with you, basically, coming on this show and...
Do you know what? You guys are actually bringing... I've been wanting to brag, so I got this...
Now's the opportunity.
Yeah. I got this bottle actually at a lodge that I was in over the weekend.
Lodge. Whoa, she's thrown in the L word.
Guys, it was so lovely. Like, it is so beautiful. This is just off topic. Just get yourself there. It's called Kloofzicht Lodge and Spa. It is absolutely beautiful. So that's where I got this bottle. So when you are there to basically appreciate what nature has in store for you there, you can ask them.
For the plastic bottle.
Yes.
So, but the question I really wanted to ask was how much of a difference does it make? Do you think the people really buy or don't buy brands based on how green they are?
Absolutely, I do. And I think that's exactly where the marketing spin comes. So not only are we dealing with the companies that want to go green, the reason they're doing that is because of their consumers, is because of their market, their target markets. Because what has happened today is everyone's become very socially conscious. They want to be very politically correct in everything that they do. And people buy from brands that they identify with and brands that they feel are aligned to their values. So if Zanati's at the lodge and she feels that that is who she is, it's a representation, the brands you buy are actually a representation of who you are as a person. So if you go to Woolworths and you see these people with their recyclable bags, and they'll choose an option that will be sort of friendlier to the planet, or they'll even choose a brown bag or whatever it may be. Even from corporate stationery, for example, you can get recycled stationery. And it's very much in fashion to see stuff that looks almost secondhand because it's seen as helping the planet. And although you've got to understand that sometimes it takes more energy to actually produce those than it does.
And from a marketing perspective, surely that actually also poses a serious challenge, right? Because let's say for example, with the bottle, with the 90s bottle, right? So mm-hmm. say instead of buying a horrible plastic bottle from her lodge, she had got a glass bottle, right? And the glass bottle lasts for like 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. So she doesn't need to get another bottle. But if I'm a bottle maker, I want to sell as many bottles as possible. But now suddenly I've got this other problem where actually I'm selling a product which is not
profitable enough for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's like it doesn't move off the shelves quickly because actually consumers are buying stuff that they don't throw away. They're reusing it. So it does come with some like trade-offs when you're trying to do the marketing side of things.
No, absolutely. Listen, absolutely. And I think that's exactly where companies make that decision and they decide on that trade-off. What they even do is they have various product lines that cater to both. So they'll have the glass bottles for those who believe in that sustainability and they don't want the BPAs and all of the negative stuff that comes with that bottle, although most manufacturers these days actually manufacture without. And they do that balance. They do their numbers. Don't for 1 second think they don't do their numbers. They're highly responsible. But when we're looking at the focus now, what they call is the triple bottom line. So it's the people, planet, and profit. So it's not just profit anymore. But ironically, the people and the planet are what drive part of that profit.
And I'd love to know from you on 101.9 Chai FM. Please SMS us. Let us know, 34519 on air at chaifm.com or even WhatsApp us, 062-148-2374. How are you being an ethical consumer out there? Do you buy certain kinds of bottles? Do you recycle? Do you like to make sure that your cows don't have BST or that your cheese is organic or that your meat has been free range? I'd love to know what your perspective is on environmentally friendly stuff out there. What do you do to make the planet a bit greener and a bit cleaner during the day? What do you do, Dina?
So again,
you drive a massive car.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, there we go. You run to work.
No, I got a smaller car, especially for that. So yeah, no, absolutely. Listen, people are driving much. I mean, listen, we live in an era where everyone has to drive a 4x4 because imagine you might have to go over potholes.
Because getting to King David, you just can't arrive in like a Hyundai, yeah,
or you might have to actually park somewhere, so then you can't mount the pavement in a car.
Preferably you have to mount one of the other, like, you know, parents' cars, but get on top and call your kids out before getting to anywhere. So
just to salvage my name there.
Yes. You have a 4x4.
No, you ride a bike too.
I did not just get plastic bottles. I did get other bottles, glass bottles.
Mm-hmm. See, she's coming back now.
Yeah. She's like wait,
she's trying.
Wait.
She's clawing back.
Forget that there is an alcoholic beverage in there, but there are glass bottles.
Well, there you go. Save water, drink alcohol.
Yes. You talk about branding. Look at Consul, for example. Consul Glass. I mean, their whole premise is based on that.
Mm-hmm.
On
and it's become a cool brand. It never used to be cool.
Glass is now cool. Glass is now cool. Rather use glass than plastic. You see these billboards and the lights and all of that.
No, absolutely. So I must tell you, I do buy those glass bottles, and I actually love them. In fact, anywhere you go now, even in Pick and Pay, you get those glass bottles with the funky colors and all of that. So even for like my kids for school sort of lunch boxes and all of that, those plastic bottles, they eventually do have a very funny taste. And you think, I'm doing something very wrong.
Left one in the pantry for a while and you like open it up and it like pops a little bit and you smell it and you're like, this is not going to work. Yeah. This is definitely not okay. Dina, if people do want
to... So the planet speaks to you.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I love is also on Fish now, you can like SMS in at a restaurant, mm-hmm. And you SMS into SASSI, which is like the South African Sustainable Fish Index, mm-hmm. or something. And it'll actually tell you whether the fish you're eating in your restaurant is like a sustainable fish or
if it's
not.
It's on the green list, the orange list,
exactly,
or the red list.
So you can make sure that your fish is... fully happy.
Well, listen, I must say that I know you had Robert, one of the doctors in the other day who was talking about fish. And he completely freaked me out because, I mean, when we look at fish, right, and we talk about sustainability. So Woolworth, again, another one of the leaders in their fish and their sustainability and how they package it, etc. But what's, I mean, really become quite clear, first of all, the price of fish in terms of the fact that it's all farmed, because you can't even get fish anymore because we've really outfished all of our oceans. I mean, I went to Croatia on holiday actually once, and you think, oh, great, we're going to get amazing fish in Croatia. But the crazy thing is that they've got no fish because apparently in times of when the armies were there, they used to actually throw dynamite into the ocean. So there literally is no fish in that ocean. So everything you get is farmed.
People blowing up schools all over the place, even in Croatia. So there we go. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, no. So I do try have sustainable fish, but it's just basically it's good for you. So everything, I mean, we're talking about what you personally do for the planet, what you do, what you buy, your buying habits, and as a consumer, what you buy. But ultimately, it actually affects your own health, your own well-being, and your future and your children's future. So it is something you need to think about when you are making those purchasing decisions.
I did see someone say that I do think it is a little bit ridiculous, but turns out that if you really, really want to reduce the amount of carbon emissions that you have, you should just not have any children, because children are the biggest contributor to climate change that there is. But anyway, Dina Diamond, thank you so much for being and coming and talking to us about being ethically green, outing Zanati for her terrible choice in bottles.
And yes, riding a bicycle is something you can definitely do. The fact that we have no real cycle lanes, and we did try that 1 week in Sandton where they went through that. It's a bit of a disastrous week. But yeah, I think we are trying. I think South Africa's getting there.
Dina's going to be taking a taxi to work from now on just for public transport. Let's be honest here. So there we go, Dina Diamond, our marketing maven. Thank you so much for being on 101.9 Kaifa.
Thank you.